All right, let's start on Daf Chof Beis Amun Aleph. The bottom. 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom. Amalehu Rav Huna. Right at the beginning of the line. Chof Beis Amun Aleph. 7 lines up from the bottom. Amalehu Rav Huna. It's right at the beginning of the line. Before the line before that.
Yeah,
to the Rabbanu. Yeah. So we're really in the middle of a discussion. We've been discussing the concept of toiling of a person of the chiyuv that used to be to toivel after having a seminal emission. Right? Then the latest twist that we had in this discussion was that we had a leniency introduced. You don't have to do it specifically through a tevila. It can be achieved through pouring 9 kavin over yourself. Pouring 9 kav over yourself. Instead of going to a proper mikvah, pour 9 kav over yourself. Now, for practical purposes, since as we saw, while the chiyuv of going to the mikvah after seminal emission is no longer in effect, it remains a pious practice. And here we're seeing that there's a more lenient way of doing it, pouring 9 kav over yourself, which, depending on different opinions, etc., etc., could be anywhere between 12.5 and 23 liters. Meaning, stand under a shower, if we're talking in practical terms, this means stand under a shower and let that amount of water come down over you. We're talking in practical terms, if we're going to assume that a typical bathtub is 30 to 40 liters, so in the most stringent scenario, you're talking about waiting until the bathtub fills 2/3 of the way up. That's the most, you want to go with the most stringent situation. But therefore again, there's this way of doing it. Again, we'll soon put that into perspective. If you do want to fulfill this concept, but yet the mikveh doesn't work for you for whatever reason, this can be done in this way also. Stand under the shower head. It would probably take, I would think, at most 10 minutes, probably not even that. Again, if you want to wait for 2/3 of your bathtub to fill up, at most 10 minutes. If you go with the most stringent thing, probably not even that. And that's another way of fulfilling this idea. But let's see some more discussion on this, because we'll work out the particulars. In other words, what we see now is that there are two ways of doing it. Either you go to a proper mikvah, or you do what we're calling the 9 kav, 12 to 23 liters pour over you under the shower head. So now, Amalehu Rav Huna l'Rabbanu. Rav Huna said to the Chacham, Rabboisai, Mipnei ma'atem mezalzelim b'tevilazu. Why do you take this tevila lightly? Meaning again, this is a reiteration of what we keep seeing. Yes, the halakha followed in the Yudim and Meseira that this tevila is not required. Yet, it is encouraged, and if possible, it's strongly recommended, as we saw earlier, that it's to the extent that the Chacham said, a person who is makbid on it will gain lengthy days. So he said, why are you taking this lightly? Imi shum tzina, if it's because it's too cold, so listen to this, efshar b'mel chatzos, you can do it in the bathhouse as well. That's also another big kula, because bathhouses usually were not in the ground. Usually normal mikvah, in order to be kosher, has to be actually in the ground. Bathhouses were often bathtubs or something like that. It was a kli. But yet, he's saying that that's okay. Now, so we'll put this in talach in perspective. So Amalei Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said, v'chiyesh tevila b'chamin. Can you toivel in hot water? Again, the point here is not really hot water. The point here mainly is the fact that it's not in the ground. The kosher mikveh has to be in the ground. And heated bathhouses were not in the ground. They were in, either in wood or whatever it is. So how can you say that you can just toivel in a bed? Omalei, so he told him, Ravada bar Ava koi kavasach. Ravada bar Ava agrees with you that it has to be in a proper mikveh. But I say that it can even be, say, in a bathtub. Not because he holds that a mikveh can be in a bathtub, but again, we see that the Chachamim allowed for more lenient requirements with regard to this tevilah. How this works out la'alacha, we'll see later in the sukkah. Now, Rabbi Zeira, I'll see a few more details on this. Rabbi Zeira have a Yosef ba'agne demaya, be'masusa. On Chof Beis Amud Aleph, five lines before the bottom. Rabbi Zeira was once sitting in a bathtub, in a tub full of water, be'masusa, in the bathhouse. So he was sitting in a tub full of water. Omar le shamei. He told his shamish, Zil va'aisi li tisha kavin, go get 9 kav, right, let's say those 12, 16, 23 liters. I'm going to call it 16 just for argument's sake, okay? Vishdi lavoi, and pour it over me. So Omar le Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. So Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said, Lama le lemar kule hai. Why do you have to do this? Hayosif v'gavayu, you're already sitting in more than 9 kav. You're sitting in a bathtub that has more than 9 kav in it. Why are you telling him to get a pail and pour it over you? Omar le, so he said, no. Karboim sa'ah. There are two ways of fulfilling this tevilah. Either you do it with the proper 40 sa'ah of a mikveh, in which case, follow the guidelines of a mikveh. Marboim sa'ah b'tevilah v'loi b'nesina. Just like when you're going to a mikveh, you have to immerse in it. You can't pour the water over yourself. Aptishokavim, so too, the 9 kav way of doing it has to be davka in its prescribed manner, which is benesina v'lei v'tmila. You have to have it poured over you. You cannot immerse in it. So if you want to go to a proper mikveh, you immerse. If you're using the 9 kav, you have to davka have it poured over you. It won't do to have 9 kav in a tub and to immerse in them. It has to be poured over you per se. Right. Now, right, yeah, you don't have much of a choice. But yeah, right, that's how they do it. But that's really the only way to do it. But as we'll see soon, if a live person wants to utilize this this expedient, it should be done standing up. We'll see. We'll get into the particulars of how it should be done. Now, Rav Nachman tiken chatzve bas tisha kav. Rav Nachman, for the use of his talmidim, he had them make a bucket of 9 kav. It should be the perfect right size to use for this purpose. The idea being that yes, when his talmidim would come in the morning before davening and they needed to do this, they would have a tub available. Okay, so if we'll stop here for a minute, we'll pause just to take stock. Basically what we're seeing is that there are two ways of doing it. There's the 40 sa'ah immersion way of doing it. Then there's the 9 kav, pouring over yourself, which is a more lenient way of doing it. And we actually saw differing approaches as to whether it's really better to go with the proper immersion, or whether not. There's no need, just utilize the 9 kav and that's good enough. So let's see. Now we'll really break it down. With the practical applications, we'll wait till we work through all the way through the sugi, and then we'll really sum it up. La'halacha l'maisa. Kiyasa Rav Dimi Omar. Rav Dimi came, he said, Rabbi Akiva for Rabbi Yehuda Glustera, these two sages, they said, Lo'ishanu ela l'choyle l'onsa. This whole 9 kav idea is meant only for a sick person who has an emission unwillingly, meaning not because he was with his wife, he just had an unintended emission. Anybody else has to use a proper mikveh. The 9 kav is only relevant for those circumstances. A sick person who's too weak to go to the mikveh, whose emission was unintended. Avol choyle hamargil. But it's even a sick person, but it was deliberate, meaning he was with his wife properly, arba'im sa'ah. He has to go to a regular mikveh with 40 sa'ah like anybody else.
So Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef heard that, he said, Itvar Chatzvei de Rav Nachman. We might as well break Rav Nachman's bucket, meaning, if so, he's basically thrown this whole heter out the window. It's talking about a very unusual situation, a sick person who had an unwilling emission. This is not really like a leniency that's usable on a day-to-day basis. In most cases, it's a healthy person, and in most cases, it's a person who's with his wife, right? So.
So, what do we do with the Rav Zera?
What's that? What with?
The Rav Zera.
So we'll see. We'll see. Meanwhile, it would seem that he wouldn't have been able to use this, but let's see. Ki aser Ravin, but when Ravin came, Omar, he said, no, it's not so. The Ushe have uvda. There was an incident in Usha. The killing of Rabbi Shai, when we were sitting together in Rabbi Shai's canopy, in Rabbi Shai's porch, the Asu Vishalu to Rav Asi, and the question was presented to Rav Asi, Omaluhu, and he said, no. The idea of nine kav was instituted davka for a sick person who did it deliberately, who was with his wife. A sick person who unintentionally had an emission is completely off the hook. He doesn't have to immerse it all. So if so, the heter does become relevant again. Because a sick person is relevant. A sick person is a lot more common.
Would this not be an indication that the Tumas Heri is in fact a mindset and not a physical man, physical thing?
I don't understand.
Here's he's having a sick person having Heri.
Yeah.
In a sense, he's not getting that Tumas, whereas any regular person.
This is the question of how they set up the Takan. The question I always have to Takana, and they decided they're going to go easy on a sick person since it's more difficult to go to the infinites. Here, this point is really more technical. So, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef said, oh, so a sick person who is with his wife is able to utilize this kula, it's the min chatzvei de Rav Nachman. If so, Rav Nachman's bucket has now been fixed. Now, we just have to show that this is very significant. Basically, what we're seeing now is that yes, this leniency was not meant as a widespread leniency for everybody to use. It's only for a sick person to use. But yet, we saw earlier that all these chachamim were using it, right? Or encouraging their talmidim to use this leniency. It's a Rashi and Ritva say basically that yes, a person, talmid chachamim were considered sick because they generally had weaker constitutions, and therefore. Yes, this applies not just for a person who's sick per se, but anybody has a weaker constitution.
Was that spelled out by the earlier children?
What's that?
That would have been spelled out. If it's Talmid and Chacham that were invented, then they didn't, you know, do any kind of short, you know, shorthanded words that they didn't actually
say. No, that's included in the week. That's included in the word week. Anybody who's weak? Why do I have to specify the Talmid and Chacham? It's much more, it's more encompassing than that.
Anybody weak?
In general, they have weaker constitutions. What's that?
Physically?
Yeah, meaning since they are basically sitting in one spot all day, they have weaker constitutions.
They used to learn standing up.
What's that?
Back then, they used to learn.
You're talking back in the days of Rav Gamliel. They were talking significantly after that.
Rebbe Histinus.
What's that?
Histinus.
So if we're talking halacha l'maisa, if we're talking in those days, I don't know if it would help. When it was mamash a full-fledged obligation, I don't know if this would help, I'm not sure. But if we're talking halacha l'maisa, today, a person where, when there's no real chiyuv to go to the mikveh at all, it's just an issue of the extra tara, of the merit, so there's, even if a person can't go to the mikveh, and even if he doesn't necessarily qualify for the special kula, the maisa, the poskim are quick to utilize the kula, and they say that, yeah, a person on the maisa won't make it to the mikveh for one reason or the other, is encouraged to use this kula. How exactly it's to be done, we'll see at the end of the sugya, but yeah.
But even here there was no chiyuv, right? Even here it was only...
No, at this point in history it still was a chiyuv.
Oh, still here.
Yeah.
They say a person of weak constitution. So that's a common custom, let's say 20, 30, 40 years old. But let's say, would everybody agree that over a certain age, that's called being weak?
Yeah, yeah, for anybody who's weak.
What age would that
be? I don't know, it would really depend on the individual. You can have a person who's 30 years old and he's a laborer, but he's a weak guy anyways. And he'd qualify too. Anybody who's weak or a little sick, and he was saying here that sick doesn't mean, you know, the guy is paralyzed in bed. That person's a little schwach. Person's a bit of a weak constitution, a little bit sick. He can utilize the heter. So you see, also the place can then. It didn't take so much to qualify. Okay. So now the Gemara says.
Just push it close.
Okay. So now we just have to make sense of the machloikis here.
Here, beautiful.
Based on what base, right on the top. Now it doesn't make sense of the machloikis here. So the Maisa was saying differing opinions. Again, we introduced this leniency. Now we're saying differing opinions as to how it is to be applied. Some say it applies to anybody weak. Others say no. Only a weak or slash sick person who had an unintended seminal emission, which basically makes it pretty rare. So now, let's see. It's all machloikis. Yes, 9 kav, not 9 kav, who can use the 9 kav, etc. This is all a machloikis about Ezra's takana, right? Ezra made this takana that a Baal Keri has to toivah. So why don't we just check? What was Ezra's original takana? Place this notes. This is an interesting question. You know, all around Shas, we have machloikis and doubt as to what takanas the Rabbanon were. Why all of a sudden is the Gemara saying, well, what was the original takan? Everybody should know. So Taisus says, no, since this was something that was so relevant on a daily basis, there shouldn't have been room for doubt to develop. So therefore, yeah, what was the original takan? So Omar Abaye. Abaye says, the truth is that Ezra's original takan did not cover this question. Ezra tikin levari hamargil memso. Ezra only addressed healthy people. A healthy person who is deliberately has an emission, meaning a healthy person was with his wife, has to go to the mikveh. And a healthy person who had an unintentional emission is one notch down. 9 kav. Now, the chacham, the amaroyim came along and they argued b'choyle, how it works with a choyle. Meaning, is one factor that we clearly see. Unintentional is a notch down from intentional, right? Now, what's with factor number two? Sick as opposed to healthy, or weak as opposed to strong. Mar Sova, one says, there's no difference between sick and healthy. Chayla hamargil kibari hamargil. A sick person who had an intentional emission is the same as a healthy person who had an intentional emission. Intentional mandates, it requires a mikvah. And a sick person who had an unintentional emission is the same as a healthy person who had an unintentional emission. He needs 9 kav. Meaning there's only one factor to consider. Was it intentional or unintentional? That's all. Intentional is one notch down. Unintentional is one notch under intentional. But sick or healthy is not a factor at all. It's all the same. I saw that, but the other opinion says no. One unintentional is a notch down from intentional, and sick is always a notch down from healthy. And therefore, we say that a healthy man requires 40 saw in an intentional case. Now we go one notch down, is a healthy man in an unintentional case, or a sick man in an intentional case? So sick is a notch down. Therefore, in both those cases, 9 kav is required. Healthy unintentional or sick intentional. Now, a sick person who's also unintentional is even a notch under that, and therefore, a sick person who had an unintentional emission is completely potter. So there are three levels. Okay. So again, this is based on the premise that Ezra already set up this division. Ezra distinguished between intentional and unintentional and said that intentional requires regular mikveh, unintentional is nine kav, and the machlokes is, do we put the sick person along with the healthy person or one notch down? Omar Rabbi, Rabbi says, no, that's not the way to set it up. Nihida tikkun Ezra tevila. It's not true. Ezra was metaken, he instituted only tevila. Nesina mitikin, did he institute this whole business of pouring nine kav? Well, Omar Mar, but it's been stated, Ezra tikkun tevila the Baal Kerayin. Ezra was metaken only one thing, that a Baal Kerayin has the table. He didn't say anything about nine kav. So hello, Omar Rabbi. Rather, Rabbi says, I agree with the general idea, but it's a little different. Ezra tikkun tevila lebari hamar yil memsa. Ezra said that a healthy person who is with his wife has to go to the mikveh. Vasrabanan behitkinu lebari laoinsay tishakavu. Now the Chachamim afterwards came and added that also a healthy person who has an unintentional emission has to use nine kav. But what's with the sick person? Nobody said. So Amar Rav didn't come into the geese. So therefore, we have this machlokes Amar Rav that we mentioned above. Bechol about a sick person. Mar sovar chole hamargil kevori hamargil. Bechol lo oinso kevori lo. So the first opinion says that sick is the same as healthy. A sick person who is with his wife is the same as a healthy person who is with his wife and requires a mikvah. Sick person had an unintentional emission is the same as a healthy person had an unintentional emission and requires nine kav. Marsova, and the other opinion says no. Bari hamargil memsa. It always goes down a notch with each added factor. A healthy person was with his wife, an intentional emission requires the 40 sa'ah, a regular mitzvah. And a sick person who was with his wife is the same as a healthy person who had an unintentional emission, which is tisha kav, nine kav. But a sick person who had an unintentional emission is completely potter. So what's the halacha on all this? Omar Rava, hilchas. The halacha is bari hamargil v'chole hamargil arbayim sa'ah. A healthy person or a sick person who had an intentional emission, they were with their wives, required a full mikveh, 40 sa'ah. Bari lo ointzoi tisha kavim. A healthy person who had an unintentional emission requires nine kav. Avol chole le ointzoi patur mikveh. But a sick person who had an unintentional emission is completely potter. So you're raising a good point. Rabbi is kind of going ishtahin, ishtahir. And we said that either the sick person is always a notch down or he's mamish the same as the healthy person. Rabbi is coming and saying, no. An intentional sick and healthy is equal. An unintentional, a healthy person requires nine kav and a sick person is potter. Rabbi kind of seems to be in no man's land. So, if you ask the question, give the Arsa Math's explanation of this. He gives a genius explanation.
Who?
The Arsa Math. He says, the Rabbi considered it a suffix. How do we rule it? Now, generally, suffix there are banu l'kul. And therefore, he should have ruled leniently on everything. But yet, he says as follows. He says, so what are the two sfeikas? The sfeikas are, what is a sick person who is with his wife required? Does he require proper immersion or nine kav? And what does a sick person who had an unintentional emission require, right? So now,
with his wife is not that sick? Is that,
what's that?
If he's with his wife, he's not
no,
that sick?
No, that we saw that could be. Even weak, right? But, he says as follows, he says something genius. He says, a sick person who was with his wife definitely requires something, right? Either 40 sa'ah or 9 kav. Now, you're right that on the one hand, Safik Darabam Lekula, but on the other hand, once we know that he requires something, that means that this rabbinic toma definitely took effect. Once it definitely took effect, we have a different factor. It has a chazaka. A chazaka that is tameh. You have a chazaka that is tameh, that can't be changed unless you definitely change the chazaka. Well, therefore, we have to be machmir.
It's the rabbinan, but the rabbis
What's that? Oh, so that means so Ezra instituted this tumma because well, two reasons. First of all, because he said that it's inappropriate to learn Torah unless you've exited the state of frivolity that's involved in relations, or because he wanted people to regulate their relations with their wives. So he made a little bit of bureaucracy. But whatever it is, when you're talking about a sick person who's with his wife, so he definitely has that tumma. The question is he getting out of it? So have a chazaka that he's tamei. In order to get out of the chazaka, he has to definitely change that chazaka, and therefore we're machmir, we require the poti sa'ah. But when you're talking about a sick person who had an unintentional omission, there the subject is, does he require anything at all? Does he require 9 kavos? Does he require nothing? In such a case, we say, safek derabanan lekula, and therefore he requires nothing. That's the Ursa Math and a typical genius explanation. What does this mean to us? So Lamaisa, as we said, for us the whole thing is certainly more flexible, certainly looser, because we paskin that none of this is required. So as far as we're concerned, the whole thing is a meritorious practice. A meritorious practice. And therefore, yes, as we said before, we already saw the Chachamim say, Kol ha-machmir bo ma'arichin lo yomim v'shnoisav, a person who is machmir on this, it's a merit for long life. The Torah brings that down. But, as we've seen, there is room for leniency. You can either do it, if you want to practice this, you can either do it all the way in the mikvah, or you can use the 9 kav. The 9 kav entails, as we said, standing under a shower head. Again, you can't take a bucket. Why can't you just take a bucket and pour it over you? That won't do, because you have to have it come down over your whole body at once. Here's where we get into some of the finer requirements here. It has to come down over your whole body at once. If you take a bucket and pour it over your head, what's with your arms? Right? So therefore you have to have it poured over you, which in those days meant having somebody pour over you. Today you have a shower head that does it for you. You have to stand right under the shower head, and again, it has to come over your whole body at once. And therefore, the place can say that one should stand, if one wants to do this, one should stand under the shower head like this, loosely, holding your arms kind of crossed, loosely so that the water gets in between. You don't have to make sure that it gets over every part of your body. In general, way, you have to be standing under the pour, like this, and you stand there and you just let the shower run until the 9 kav have poured out. And again, as we've said, the 9 kav is anywhere between 12.5 liters to 23 liters, if you want to go all the way mekel, all the way machmir, and basically anywhere in between.
So proper showering today, generation generally makes you not tuma according to this type of rabbinic tuma.
And not really. You have to be aware that it has to be coming over your whole body at once.
So you're standing like this, essentially loosely.
Yeah.
It's going to become.
Yeah, we have to stand there for the right amount
of
time.
And if you move it out and in, it's a hefsek to restart.
Oh, that's right. It has to all come in one shot. But that's why a typical shower won't do it if you're not being conscious that you want it to work.
I don't understand why a shower would work at all, because it has these little pins in it. It's not like when you're doing, you know, like till us you die and it's all flowing on your head. You have these little pin drops coming down, you know, on you. And I don't know how that could be possible.
Well, so first of all, what you're saying is a valid point. There are some who say that a shower doesn't work for that reason. But the majority of places can say that it does, and they say that it doesn't matter. The main point is that the 9 cups should come continuously in one shot. It doesn't matter how thin the trickle is. The main point is that it should come continuously in one shot. And that is the consensus of the majority of the voice. Now, how that'll work, you have to know your shower. You know, you have to know your bathtub. How fast does it pour the water? Again, based on your estimate, it would take about the amount of time you'll get about a half to two-thirds of you. From a third to two-thirds of your bathtub full. We're not talking about that long a time, but you do have to be conscious that, yes, you're standing under it the whole time, and it's coming straight down on you. So, it's not such a big deal. We're talking about, I don't know, five to 10 minutes, and it's a big mile. It's a big mile to do this. Although, we do have to stress again, certainly not required.
And still not the level of the natural mikvah.
And the natural mikvah is an added mile. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We're going to finish off with another little discussion on this, and then we'll just kind of tie up the whole subject. Tanu Rabba. So we said earlier that you have these different people. The way we concluded is that a sick person, we have dispensations. A sick person was with his wife, a sick person who had an unintentional emission, a healthy person who was had an unintentional emission. We have these dispensations for using nine kav. So now this brisa presents a qualification for that dispensation. Tana Rabban says in the brisa, Balkari shenasnu alav tisha kav in mayim, tov. A Balkari who had nine kav of water poured over him is tov. Meaning, subject to the qualifications mentioned above. But now, we say, Ba'med varam amurin. However, when does that apply? La'atzla. Only for himself. He wants to sit down and learn by himself, the nine kav will do. Avola acherin. But if he wants to teach others, arvayim sa'ah. He's got to go to a proper mitzvah. Meaning, even in those circumstances where we did allow for nine kav, that's only if you're learning by yourself. But if you're teaching others, you have to go to a regular mikvah. Rabbi Yehuda says an unrelated point. He's not disagreeing with the Tanna Kamma. An unrelated point. Men sa'ah mikol makom. Those 40 sa'ah can be from anywhere. Usual requirements of a mikvah. It can be from anywhere. What exactly this means, we'll see soon. Maybe. We'll see soon. We'll see soon what he means by this. Now, both the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yehuda gave a certain ruling, both of which are somewhat ambiguous. We have to explain. So first the Tanna Kamma said. Tanna Kamma said, we're going to address him first. Even when we allowed for nine kav, that's only for your own learning, but not if you're teaching somebody else. So, Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, we just named two pairs of Amiraim. These two pairs each had a machloikis. We don't know who and who said what. Chad me'ayzuge v'chad me'ayzuge areisha. One of these and another one of these argued about the beginning of the Braisa as follows. Chad Omar, one says, again, the Tanna Kamma said that the allowance of nine kav only works for your own learning, but not for teaching others. So he said, "Hoda amris v'medvar mamurim la'atzmoy, avol acher memsa." When we said that nine kav only works for you personally, but not for teaching others, then you need a full-fledged tevila. Loishanu ela lechoyla hamargil. Who are the ones who received the dispensation of nine kav? Two people: a sick person who was with his wife, and a sick person who had an unintentional omission. So when we say that to teach others you require 40 sa'ah, that's only for a sick person who is with his wife. When it comes to a sick person who had an unintentional omission, he only requires 2 kav. Meaning, even though we're saying, we keep bouncing around, we're saying that, yes, there's a dispensation of 9 kav, but teaching others takes you a notch up, we still differentiate between intentional and unintentional omission. Intentional omission for yourself, you require 9 kav. For others, you require a full-fledged immersion. But for an unintentional omission, 9 kav will do, even if you want to teach others. V'chadomar, and the other says no. Kol acherim, anybody wants to teach others, afilu chole lo'insoy, even if it's a sick person who had an unintentional omission, adi'ika arbayim sa'ah, he but requires the full 40 sa'ah. Okay, so in other words, just we're getting very detailed here, but the bottom line is that we have a machlokes here. One opinion says that any talk about 9 kav does not apply for teaching others. Teaching others always requires full-fledged immersion. And the other opinion says no. A sick person who had an unintentional omission can still do with the 9 kav. What the halacha is on this, we'll see soon. Now we address Rabbi Yehuda's ruling. And this is also relevant to us. V'chad me'azuga v'chad me'azuga aseifa. And another one of these four, with another one of these four, meaning number 3 and 4, argued about the intent of the end of this braisa. Rabbi Yehuda says, 40 sa'ah, anything will do. What did he mean by that? Chad Omar once said, Hada Amar Rabbi Yehuda Memsa'a Mikol Makom. When Rabbi Yehuda said that any 40 sa'a will do, you don't need require a normal mikvah. Loishena Ela Bekaka. That's only if, at the end of the day, it is in the ground, like a mikveh is supposed to be. Aval bekelim, but in kelim, let's say in a bathtub that has a plastic insert, right? Like many bathtubs do. Loi, that not. Meaning, even though he said we don't require a mikveh, it still does have to be in the ground. Echad amar afilu bekelim nami, and the other says no. It can even be in a vessel. According to this opinion, you can even do the 40 saw in your own bathtub. Well, right, okay, if you could.
A pool.
That's right. You'd be able to do it there too, according to this opinion. So we have a machlokes. When Rabbi Yehuda was lenient, did he mean even in a vessel? Or did he mean no, it still has to be in the ground? So the Gemara says, 1 minute. Rabbi Yehuda is clearly stating a leniency, right? So Bishlama Lamanda Omar Afilu Bekelim, according to the opinion that says that he meant to say you can even tovel in a vessel, Hainu Diktani, then we understand. That's what Rabbi Yehuda meant when he said, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer Mem Sa'ami Kol Makayim. That's what he meant when he said, for the 40 saw anything qualifies. Elamanda Omar Bekarka in Bekelim Loi. But according to the opinion that says, no, Rabbi Yehuda is lenient, but it's still got to be in the ground, not in a vessel. Mikol Makayim La Suyemai. Then what did he mean by saying anything qualifies? If it's still got to be in the ground, then we're back to square one. You need the regular mikveh. What's the leniency here? So the Gemara says, no, there is a leniency. La'asuyem mayim she'uvim. He's coming to say that it can be drawn water. Meaning, a mikveh in normal situations has to be natural rainwater that fell into that spot and was never moved. You can only tovel in a place that contains natural rainwater that was never transported, was never drawn out of the ground. Right, the mikvahs that we have are obviously not exposed to the rain, but they're set up so that they're attached to natural bodies of water that catch the rain, and they're irrigated into the mikvah without ever having been drawn out of the ground. So, what's that? The water for a mikveh cannot have been drawn out of the ground. The water in our mikvehs, even though they obviously are not under the sky, but they were never drawn out of the ground. They are attached by underground pipes to bodies of water that are actually natural reservoirs. So the chiddush here is that for a bal keri, you can even use water that was drawn from the ground, but only if lemaisa it was put back in the ground. It can't be in a vessel. Even if it was drawn from the ground and therefore disqualified for a normal mikveh, a bal keri can still use it. But it's got to be lemaisa in the ground.
So an in-ground swimming pool would still qualify.
What's that?
An in-ground swimming pool would still qualify.
Just you're going to get into the question of what's it coated with. That's what you're going to get into a question of, and that I don't know how that works.
What's the style of the coating?
What's that? Will it constitute a kli in and of itself? Right? So that'll be the shaila. Okay. What's that? No, the question is it better than a kli? Meaning, we have this opinion that a kli won't work, it's got to be in the ground. Is a swimming pool called in the ground? Or is it called in a kli? And that might depend on how it's coated, what it's coated with. Okay, so, but Lemaiska the Poskim do Paskin, because Eger Paskin's this, and the Mishnah Berurah cites it, that we're machmir on this. Even the tefillah of a bal keri must actually be in the ground, once you're going with the tefillah. So Lemaiska, it should be in a proper mikveh, or possibly in a swimming pool, depending on the circumstances, I'm not sure. And if you're at the sea or something like that, that can certainly, that's the epitome of a mikveh. And now, we finish this discussion with the following. Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Breda, Rav Yeshua, Verova Bar Shmuel. These three sages, Kricho Rifte Bahadi Adodi, they had a meal together. And now the question is, who's going to be mezamin for everybody? So Amale Rav Papa said, Havuli li didi livroich. Let me bench. Dinoful ilavoi tishakabim. Because I went that extra mile. Even though it's not required, I did have 9 kav poured over me. Amaluhu Rav Bar Shmuel said, 9 kav don't help much in this case. Tanina, because we just learned in the braisa above, Bamedvar Mamorim La'atzmoy. 9 kav is effective only for yourself. But if you want to teach others, you have to have 40 sa'ah. Now in this case, where you want to be mezamein, you're being mitzi others, that's like teaching others. So for this, 9 kav is ineffective. You would need 40 sa'ah. Ela havuli lididi livroich. Rather, let me bench. Dinaful ilavoi abayim sa'ah. Because I actually immersed in 40 sa'ah. So I should bench. Omar Avhune, so Avhune, he was the third one, he spoke up and he said, Havuli lididi livroich. No, I'm most qualified to bench. The leki ilavoi lehai velehai. I don't have 9 kav or 40 sa'ah, meaning I'm even better. I didn't have the seminal mission at all. So
you see that the mile did not have the mission then? Even for like, I mean, it seems like Rava, it's better for Rava not to have, let's say, relations with his wife.
Oh, so you're asking a good question. What does he mean? He never had relations with his wife. What does this mean? He said, I'm less qualified to bench because I didn't have an admission at all. So obviously he had relations with his wife at some point.
Issues.
What's that?
He
wasn't married. Meaning
right now he doesn't. It's not in the picture for him at all.
So a minute.
He doesn't have to be dealt with.
Well, a minute. But did he have? And if he went to the mikveh.
Yeah.
And he went to the mikveh. So why is he better than the one who went to the mikveh? That's the question.
Maybe the same day.
Oh, so that's what the Rishonim say. That's what this means. Rashi doesn't spell it out. They say that's what he meant. He meant, I wasn't tamei at all today. These people, the other two, had relations the previous night, and they either had the 9 kav or the 40 sa'ah that morning. And he's saying, I was completely pure the whole day. What's that? Apparently. But listen to the ra'ah. This is Rashi. The ra'ah turns this upside down. He says, you know what he told him? He says, let me bench, because I didn't do either one. I also had relations with my wife last night, but I didn't do either one. And I'm qualified to bench because of my silly paskin, could be hudab and misera, nothing is required. So Rabbi Yisai, you fight over who went to the mikveh, and I'll bench.
He's making
the point in a humorous way that none of this is required. That's how the Ra'ah puts this down. And now the Gemara brings this home again with the following. Rav Chama Tovil B'mali Yom Ede Pischa V'Hoitzi Rabbi Midei Chavosam. Rav Chama would Tovil on Erev Pesach because he would be Moitzi people, he would be Moitzi the public at his Seder with the different brachas and everything. V'Leisil Chisikavasei, but the Allah is not like him. It's not required at all, and therefore he wouldn't have to do this. If he would say that he did it just as a midas chasidus, fine. But to do it because he held that it was mechuyev, that lamaisa we don't pass him. So that what's that?
Rav Chama held it was a
chumrah. No, Chama did it because he felt that it was required, and that the Gemara is stressing that no, it's not. So lamaisa, again, as we said before, none of this is required lahalacha. It's all a recommended practice, a pious practice, etc. What we do come away from this Gemara Lamaisa is a couple of points that remain lahalacha, and that is that at the end of the day we have to learn from this Gemara at least one thing, and that is the approach to Torah learning. Let's at least appreciate that, right? Even if we're not going to practice Ezra's Takana, what he was trying to convey was that when you're sitting down to learn Torah, realize that you're engaging the Shekhinah and approach it with due awe. And another couple of points that we learned from this Gemara is like what we saw earlier. Even though lemaisa, this is a recommended and pious practice, don't confuse priorities. Like we saw in the Gemara earlier. Don't not learn because you haven't been to the mikveh yet.
and also more than that, perhaps even more important, don't not have relations with your wife because you're not going to be able to get to the mikveh. Right? Now these types of things, the stipler would say, sometimes a person figures, you know, he's on a higher madrega, right? He says, when you play around with relations with your wife because you're on a high madrega, it's kind of like a person who is in such awe of what an awesome day Pesach is, that how can you eat on such a night? So he doesn't eat matzah. You have to have your priorities straight. That also we see in this Gemara. You want to go about this right, do everything normally, and make a point of getting up 45 minutes earlier and going to the mikveh, or doing what you want to do under the shower, and have your priorities straight. Okay.